Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Kind of wanted to hear that guitar riff for a little bit. I like that.
DX, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
I am now.
Did you press record? Are we recording, by the way?
We're recording. We weren't ready about 30 seconds ago, but now we are ready. We are Gravel Talk. I'm Nick Ragner, joined by AC Riley, who is not bleeding from the head this week. And we have a great show planned. We have Seth Gambino coming on
Half of the Dream Police
for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment. And we got a recap this week. We're recapping SWE's Collision Course. So you're not going to want to miss all the cool stuff we have coming up later in the show. But
never want to miss it out.
You don't miss out on any of it. But obviously, you know, to start off every show, we like to talk about shows that are upcoming this weekend and possibly next weekend. I know we have quite a few shows this weekend and next, so I think we're just sticking with this weekend.
We're just sticking with this week, because otherwise, if we were doing this and next weekend like we usually do, that'd be six shows.
That'd be six.
We wouldn't be able to recap SWE's Collision Course, because by the time that we got done, it'd be like 4:30, and Seth Gambino would be dialing us up.
If we did all the shows, that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What is wrong with you today?
6. I don't know. You want to start us off?
Yeah, I guess I could start us off.
Please start us off.
We got, first off, we got Bruce City Wrestling's March Madness.
That's, recording, by the way.
We are recording. Awesome. So BCW returns on Friday, March 14th to the Knights of Columbus. That's 1800 South 92nd Street in West Allis, Wisconsin. Bell time is 7:30. Doors open at 6:45. Tickets are $15, if I can read that correctly. And fans, if as always, you can get it for $10 if you go to the BCW website. That's BrewCityWrestlingNumber1.com. Get $5 off your ticket, and you can spend it on some merch. Already signed, we have a last man standing match. The BCW Heritage Championship is on the line. Pornstash Peter Swans defends against the last real man of professional wrestling, Silas Young. You also got Scrap Iron Adam Pearce coming back. For this show, and also the next show that will lead into it, we have him going up on Friday against Psychotic Jim Blaze. And then former BCB members collide as we have Brandon Blaze going up against Nick Colucci.
It's crazy.
Who we had Nick Colucci just on last week.
Last week we did.
And then we also have Assault and Battery versus the Urban Assault Team. And it's, although the Urban Assault Team are the tag team champions, this is not a title defense. I want to make that clear. Right now, the deal is that if Assault and Battery can beat the Urban Assault Team, then they will earn a shot at the tag title. So basically, this
gotta beat them twice.
So basically, this is their number one contendership. And what better way to be number contenders by beating the champs? And of course, more Fandemonium matches will be announced soon. And again, check out the details at BrewCityWrestlingNumber1.com. That's BCW's March Madness on Friday. What else is going on Friday, my friend?
Oh, man, you know what's going on Friday, and so do I, because we are going to be a show that's not Supreme Wrestling Entertainment for once.
What?
Yeah, that's really happening. First, which actually we've been to quite a few times, First Wrestling's Wrestlepalooza the 3rd is Friday, March 14th, 2014. So, yeah, the same day. Pabst Blue Ribbon, so, I mean, they got a pretty legit sponsor, is presenting Wrestlepalooza 3. It's at 1st Avenue and 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tickets are $18 in advance or $20 at the door. You can get your tickets at this link that you – it's a tiny URL that you put on here, tinyurl.com/WrestlePalooza-3Roman numerals 1. I don't even know what it is. That like one, is that the three?
Three.
Three. Okay, that makes
it's
sense.
It's the third show.
Not, but I'm saying you can't, it's not the number three. It's the third, it's in Roman numerals.
Moving on, sir.
Moving on, doors open at 7, show starts at 8. You got to be 18 or older to get into First Wrestling. And scheduled to appear right now, a lot of you know, pretty respectful talent. You got Horace the Psychopath, Arya Daivari, as we alluded to quite a
brother
few times.
Brother of Sean Daivari.
Exactly. The crime-fighting feline Wildcat. I'm pretty excited for that. Playboy Pete. Meow. Wildcat. Meow. Playboy Pete Huge, Zero Gravity, the tag team consisting of CJ Esparza and Brett Gayak. I always get these names, man. Yeah, there you can laugh at me. I got you before. Yeah, the Misfits, John Johnson and Aaron Corbin, the North Star Express, who I haven't seen for almost, gosh, must have been like 4 years now. Ryan Cruz and Darren Corbin, Rennie D, the monster from Chaturanga, Udo, and you got World Class Burlesque, Queenie Von Curves, and Sweet Pea. Plus, I got live music, Blood and Stuff, and Lipstick Homicide. So it sounds like they are definitely not a couple of pop bands, if you ask me.
You're right. And speaking of Wrestlepalooza, we got a little bit of hype from the North Star Express and Pete Huge.
We're going to play that?
We're going to play it. Take a look.
I didn't know that we were supposed to wear shirts.
Don't worry about it. The important thing is Ryan Cruz, Darren Corbin, the North Star Express, we're coming to First Avenue for Wrestlepalooza 3, March 14th. You aren't going to want to miss this extravaganza of a show!
Nope. Downtown Minneapolis, your favorite son returns. That's right, Playboy Pete Huge makes his return at Wrestlepalooza 3, presented by PBR, at First Avenue in the main room on March 14th. That's right, I'm going to be banana kicking turnips all over the place. There's going to be G-spots for all. And that's right, this is Burberry.
So that was actually Pete Huge who ended that, and the first clip was of Darren Corbin and Ryan Cruz, and it sounds like, you know, these guys are pretty hyped to be at the show. I know it's, you know, First Wrestling is always a pretty huge event to go to. They always have a lot of really great talent down there, but yeah, so that's First Wrestling this Friday in Minneapolis at, Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's cool, man. I love PBR. That's one of my favorite beers. Can I say that?
Yeah, we can say that. But, you know, I'm excited because, I mean, We don't really get a chance to go to a lot of Minnesota shows. I mean, usually most of our schedule has us going over to the east side of Wisconsin,
yeah.
Which, granted, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, when you go to the same crowd over and over again, you kind of get used to it. Really, it was kind of a toss-up between BCW or First. And to be honest, the decision kind of came down to, well, we see a lot of the guys over and over again, you know, at least once, twice
a month.
We love
them. We love all those guys.
We love them. But at the same time, we got to show some love to the other side because we can't really be a Midwest independent wrestling podcast if we're just focusing extremely on Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to have some authority and get a little bit of a new taste of things over in Minnesota. So I'm excited because I haven't been to a First show in about 6 years.
Whoa, that long?
It's been that long.
Wow.
since the last time that I was training, since I was training up over in the Minnesota area for quite some time. So I was checking out those shows kind of back when it was a monthly basis. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a bit of a homecoming for me, even though it's just me checking a look at a show. Moving on, though.
Yeah, I think there's another show on Saturday that we need to get.
There is a show on Saturday. This is what we are alluding to with Scrap Iron Adam Pearce being around. It's Wisconsin Professor Wrestling's March Massacre. That's on Saturday at Bobby Louis.
Massacre.
Really? Are we going to do this?
No, keep going.
We got things that we got to do.
You're doing a great job.
All right. Baba Louie's, 419 Main Avenue. It's in De Pere, Wisconsin. All tickets are $8 or $5 with a college ID if you're a student and you want to get in for cheaper. That's the way to do it. Doors open at 7 p.m. A first blood match for the WPW heavyweight title. That's Dysfunction defending against Rough Rider Rashawn. We got Psycho Chase McCoy take on High Velocity Brock Burke. You got Raging Nathan Gusts going one-on-one with Joey Jet Avalon. You also have Justin Dredd teaming up with Brandon Blaze, along with Roadhouse, to take on the team of Porn Stars Peter Swans and Stacy Shadows. We got Sexy KC, who's been talking trash on social media like always. He's going to be going up against Bronson Bay. Ripped Ryan Summers against Matt Winchester. The Dream Police taking it on Devin Drake and Johnny Smash. Last, certainly but not least, Scrapwriter Adam Pearce making his long-awaited WPW return, taking on Derek St. Holmes. And as always, card is subject to change as well as subject to awesome. That's on the event page, and I couldn't help add that to the,
that's awesome.
To the lineup.
I love
that's,
it.
That's WPW's March Massacre on Saturday in De Pere, Wisconsin. It's going to be a good show.
I'm excited for it. All right. Anyways, we need to talk about Supreme Wrestling Entertainment. I mean, there's
What else do we need to talk about?
What else?
We got some updates, man.
Like what?
We got a new couple news updates.
Okay, what?
Well, first off, Matt Winchester, he's back in action. He had the knee injury, and now he's back. He's good to go. He's looking forward to getting back on the road. So props to him. Another props goes out to Raging Nathan Gus.
Yeah.
He just had his baby. On Saturday. Granted, he didn't give birth to it.
Yeah, he didn't give birth to it. I'm sure
Mama Gus did.
If anybody were to give birth to a baby, maybe it would be Nathan Gus.
Maybe.
But
I mean, the dude's 135, so who's to say he doesn't know how to
give birth? You know, he's like, exactly.
But, you know, him and his wife had a baby today.
Yeah.
It's congratulations to them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a month early, I want to say, because I thought
it was
supposed to be expected in the first week of April, but sounds like there might have been a couple of complications as far as being born with a broken arm. I didn't know that was possible.
But regardless, sounds like the baby's all good. They're all good. And, that's the best part about it.
I was born 2 weeks late with the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. I'm still kicking.
Sometimes we just can't be so lucky.
But you know, that's just a good sign that she's gonna grow up a tough SOB.
Yeah, and that's exciting. And
so
yeah.
that's our Grapple Talk news update. So
oh, nice. Brought to you by something.
Brought to you by Nick Ragnar.
Yeah, brought to you by me. It's everything.
Even though you tried to skip over,
everything
it,
sounds better with an advertiser.
That's why we got to get some more advertisers.
We need to.
All right, let's get on to something that you want to talk about. We're going to talk about Collision Course.
Yeah. Collision Course happened.
Two shows in a row for SWE.
Yep.
Granted, it was week to week kind of basis, but you know, it's still week to. And in that case, that's sometimes back to back.
Yeah.
Unless you're WPW, where you do like three shows in like a weekend,
3 days. Yeah.
Which props to you, because if you can do that, it's awesome. But Supreme Wrestling Entertainment, Collision Course, the last show on the road to the Champion of the Night. And it was pretty packed. I would say
It was actually definitely pretty packed. And, you know, very, very loud and very, you know, I think it was a very loud crowd. And they got really
into it. It was a loud
crowd. Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I mean, there was a guy wearing a mask in the front row that just scared me. I don't know. He was wearing, like, gauntlets, too. Like, I don't know.
I saw that. I don't know if he was, like, some other wrestler from another
That's what
place,
I thought.
Or if he just really likes looking like a gimp.
Yeah, like, I peeked over to Vic Ross. I'm like, who is that guy? He's like, I don't know, brother. I'm like, all right, well, that settles that conversation.
Did you say, I don't know, brother?
Yeah, he did.
I could see him saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, you know, let's get into talking about some of the matches, because you were there watching, and I was there.
What match do you want to talk about, man?
I want to talk, first of all, I want to talk about the main event. I want to talk about Melanie Cruz and Stacy Shadows.
That was crazy.
It was funny because, remember, IWI had the exact same kind of match. DQ, no disqualification. Granted, stakes were a little bit different over there. But over here, the stakes were the loser leaves SWE. And that match was pretty intense.
Yeah, it was intense. That's, like, probably the best way to describe it.
Because, I mean, granted, like, you see, like, let's talk about diva matches, like, in WWE or TNA. I mean, in TNA, they get a little bit more extreme. I won't say anything about that.
Yeah.
But you don't see that. You don't see them getting into any kind of fights or anything like that. But bottom line, though, is that you have that, and here they are just, like, going at each other, like, getting any kind of thing they can find underneath the ring, and they even use the door.
Dayhawk put Melanie Cruz through a door. She ended up losing the matchup. She went home, and I felt kind of bad because, you know, it was a weird predicament to be in because Melanie Cruz and Stacy Shadows are two just extremely, just really, really, really good talents. And to have one of them leave, it's never really the best situation to be in. But you know what? They put on one hell of a match like they have been for the past couple months. Their rivalry was unparalleled to none. And I'm glad, actually, that Supreme Wrestling Entertainment decided to take the route and putting them in the main event, because you don't see a lot of main events with women wrestlers. It just doesn't happen.
No, you don't.
It's almost like, you know, women are considered the second fiddle in pro wrestling, and obviously showed on Saturday night that they probably had the best match of the night.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about that. And, you know, going off what you said is that, you know, leading back into first, for example, is that, you know, we would see, like, Ann Brookstone go up against, like, ODB, for example. Was that the main event over there? Oh, no.
Yeah.
That was about mid-card. And that was with, like, pretty much one of the only names that was on that show, and that was in mid-card.
Yep.
Whereas this one, that was the main event.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that really speaks a lot for how Supreme Wrestling Entertainment evaluates their talent. And I think it's kind of and we're not going to get into this whole debate or anything, but it's kind of like progressive thinking almost, you know, to an extent, because, you know, you don't see a lot of women wrestling around here. And when you do see it, it's highly touted after, obviously, with Supreme Wrestling Entertainment.
Well, I think it would be a debate if we were arguing on the same side, but I agree with you on that. So.
Yeah, I don't want to get on a soapbox and not get off. But moving on, we have a lot to talk about. Melanie Cruz and Stacey Shadows put on a great contest, but one in particular match that I want to talk about, and it's kind of interesting, and it's probably the only match that you can really comment on, and that would be of yourself and Sexy KC in the opener.
It's kind of one of the only few that I can really talk
about
because
exactly,
I was actually in the match.
So I want to talk about your promo at the beginning there. Like, you guys, you don't really get a lot of mic time anywhere. Like, never have.
I really don't.
You never have anywhere.
You know
any
why?
Place? Why?
Because basically, promoters knew who I was as far as how I could talk, and they're like, oh, well, you want mic time? Tough. You kind of suck in the mic. And instead of, like, actually giving me time to work on it, they're like, oh, well, you suck, so there's no way for you to fix it and stuff like that, which kind of doesn't make sense in a way because, I mean, if you're bad at something, you work at it to get better.
See, it's almost kind of funny because you've been on shows before where there's probably been, like, four people in the audience, and it's like, yeah, you're not going on the mic tonight. It's like, well, I guess you're really losing out on those four audience members that are going to, you know. But whatever, moving on, we're not going to debate about that either.
We're not going to have a debate. This is not a debate
show.
This
is not a debate show. But anyways, you got your mic time, and you called Sexy KC out. You know, this is a week after you got busted open, taken on a stretcher. And there was a lot of emotion in it. It was actually pretty surprising because, like I said, you don't get a lot of mic time, and we got to see you on the mic, and it was pretty impressive. It seemed like it was actually, you know, it wasn't just a work. It was, you know, part of my French, if that's not what I'm supposed to, the terms I'm supposed to be using, but it was more of like a shoot promo, and I was
not happy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I thought that added a different element to the rivalry that you guys have, you know, brought on so far. And I'm actually enjoying the angle that, you know, the Revelation taking on Youth Gone Wild is taking, because it, unlike, you know, the UAT and did you guys feud with the Ross family?
We feud with the Ross family.
I mean, it's the Ross family, great tag team. UAT, great tag team. Probably the two best tag teams I've ever seen. But, you know, those were almost like, I wouldn't say they were goofy or any, like, goofy rivalries or anything. And they weren't like, you know, light feuds or anything, but it seems like this one's the first feud that you've been involved in that actually is, you know, bumped up a whole new level. Like, there's actually, like, a lot of, you know, personal stuff, and it seems like there's a lot of heat, and just it's a feud that Youth Gone Wild hasn't been involved in yet, and I think that's why I'm enjoying it so much, because the UAT was more like, hey, you're the tag champs, give me the tag belts. Ross family was like, stop being goofy, Vic Ross, we're wrestling now. But now it's like Revelation, it's like, we hate each other, don't bust me open, stop hitting on my girl, let's brawl. Like, that's kind of
what it is.
Yeah, and I love it. It's awesome. There's actually, like, a personal element involved in it that I haven't seen from a feud that you've been in. So, I mean, I think that's pretty awesome. But anyways, your match was, I mean, I talked to Jesse Von Rudin about it, and we agreed that your match with Sexy KC was probably one of the best singles matches of the night. If you don't want to include Melanie Cruz and Stacey Shadows, that was probably the best singles match of the night. We really enjoyed what you and Sexy KC put together, because, again, like, when you guys were wrestling, it wasn't a wrestling match. It was like you guys were telling a story. I think what this feud is doing that I'm trying to explain is you guys are doing a great job of telling the story of Youth Gone Wild versus Revelation instead of just having matches of Youth Gone Wild versus Revelation. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And that's actually one of the funny things is that, you know, I got in the back and then a couple people were talking to me saying that it was probably one of my better matches that they've seen. And then I got a lot of credit, too, because I was still wrestling with the six staples that I had. And, you know, I had guys being like, are you serious? You know, are you still doing this? You better be careful. And then you even had guys like, you know, Chase McCoy, who were like, I got to give you credit because I do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's talking about, you know, Steve Stardom. You know, that's the guy that trained me into it. And, you know, it showed last week when I still wanted to wrestle despite being bloody and,
pools,
you know,
blood.
Basically like turning my entire body red instead of just my singlet.
Yeah.
But then on top of that is that, you know, Stardom always implemented that. And that mean is that unless like you're on your deathbed or there's absolutely no reason for you to be in the ring, you should be wrestling.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you got like a little cough or something like that, you should be still planning to wrestle that night. Basically, if there's like no physical way you can do anything physical,
yep,
then you have no excuse.
Yeah, and by the way, if you just want to focus on the technical aspect, you took a sick-looking pedigree that I thought killed you, and then I thought you broke Sexy Casey in half with your spear, so like that was pretty cool to see. But I guess we can move on and try to get some more matches in here that we're going to talk about. Also, on that night, we saw the Ghost Riders taking on the Ross family. And, you know, that was a pretty interesting matchup. You know, whenever we get to see the Ross family get together, it's always something magical. And then, I mean, but they...
always something magical.
It's always something magical.
I feel like we're about to, like, break into song, like some Disney movie. But let's keep moving on.
Let's keep moving on. But originally what was supposed to happen was the Ghost Riders were supposed to take on Jiggy Jack Spade and Big Peter Schwanz. But, you know, the Devlin Kane actually did not show up at Collision Course because... it's Viking season, so he was
it's
out.
Viking season,
yep,
man.
He was out pillaging and all the other
that's,
stuff. That Vikings
that's one of those
reasons
we're talking about is that if you can't make it to the show, I mean, you should still be unless there's a reason you can't make it. And for example, Devlin Kane was on a Viking boat somewhere not in the
Iceland,
area.
In Iceland, mate. I don't
so
know
he was
if that's
in Iceland,
or...
and there's no way he was gonna make it to Beaver Dam, especially on a Viking boat, because there's no like.
There's
body
not a
of
way.
Water leading into the
yeah,
ocean.
Yeah, I imagine he has a really, really big Viking boat that he can't travel like through rivers with.
Hey, granted, it is the 21st century, so unless like that boat has like
maybe, yeah,
flying features,
it
but
could.
I feel like because he's a Viking, they're kind of like, no, that's witchcraft.
Yeah, I'm not really exactly sure. But what we saw instead then is we saw Chase McCoy and Judge Jesse teaming up to take on Dayhawk and Peter Schwanz. So Peter Schwanz jumped into that matchup, and then that's why we saw the Ross family take on the Ghost Rider. So a little bit of a switcheroo. But yet another really good showing from Big Peter Schwanz. They did end up losing that matchup, but Dayhawk was the one pinned, and he was actually pinned by the Honorable Judge Jesse. And that was just there's a bunch of stuff happening in that match that just kind of threw me off. I don't really know exactly what to think about Judge Jesse and his new found, I don't even know what is the word for that, his new found mindset, I guess, is probably what I'm trying to say.
I don't know, but one thing that I admire is that, I mean, we've seen Jesse go over to, changing his perspective on things, like, back in PHPW when that was around. And then some people didn't really take his newfound mindset seriously.
Yeah.
So they still called him Judy. They didn't really cheer for him. But last night, we didn't see that. We saw him come out to the ring, and the second he hit the curtain, people were popping for him.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
So I think people are really starting to take Jesse as a serious, you know, guy that they can get behind, which is awesome. And then moving on is that another thing that we saw in the Ghost Rider and match against the Ross family is that Rough Crossing actually had to relinquish the belt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because that was almost one of the most important parts of the entire night, but I forgot about it. So pretty much, if you want a quick synopsis of what happened, the Ghost Riders ended the matchup, and then Dave Bell, I believe, was he taken out? Something about his knee. He got worked over on his knee pretty bad, and he had to get taken to the back. And Rough Crossing was left out by himself, and all of a sudden here comes Peter Schwanz, and he just starts working on the shoulder. Put him in an armbar a couple times, threw him into the post a little bit. And Dave Bell, wasn't out there because he was being checked down in the back. So the next thing you know, Ruff comes out. I believe this might have been right before the main event. And his arm's all taped up. He has it in a sling and everything. And he has to relinquish the title because he can't defend it at the champion of the night tournament.
Well, that's
tournament.
The thing, too, is that it would be important to point out that he wasn't able to relinquish it. Although he wanted to because it was the right thing to do, Roadhouse actually fired him.
Yeah.
So basically, he fired him, and then on top of that, he let Pornstash go nuts
again
to basically ensure that there was no way he's going to come back or anything like that.
What's up with that, man? Like, what's the hate with Rough Crossing?
I don't know. That's a good question for Pornstash, not for me.
Like, why? Ruff's a nice guy.
He's a great guy, but I mean, granted,
jealousy. Like, what do you think it is?
I don't know. It could be that. It could be just him wanting to make an impression. He wants people to know that. He's not a guy to be tribal with. And I think it might even be a little bit of disappointment, too, because, I mean, let's go back to the last show that these guys went toe-to-toe with. Peter Schwanz got the W on Rough Crossing, and now you're telling me, and basically in the mindset of Peter Schwanz is that he knows he can beat Rough Crossing when it comes down to a tournament match for the title. So I think it could have been some disappointment if I had to, make an educated guess, just because of the fact that here he is saying that he can't wrestle, he's not going to be able to compete. So it's almost like, okay, I know I could beat you, and now you're not going to be wrestling. So now it's kind of like, okay, now I have to execute a completely new game plan.
It could be, but all I know is that at the Champion of the Night 4 tourney, we're going to see a brand new champion no matter what. I mean, normally the champion is at least in the finals, so we kind of have, you know, some of that, you know, that similarity, that you know, that contingency. But this
there
time
will be a new champion.
We're gonna have two guys in the finals that are going to be, you know, one or the other is gonna be a brand new champ. So I mean, that although I don't like to see Rough Crossing go, it's gonna add a new level of excitement.
It's gonna be interesting.
It's definitely gonna be interesting. Really quick before we have to get off here and get Seth Gambino on the phone, I just want to comment on Mr. APAC Jared Jax taking on Joey Jett Avalon. My first time seeing Joey Jett Avalon. Man, those guys are really athletic. That was a great match. I really enjoyed that matchup. Didn't have a lot of hype. Jared Jax obviously just continuing his really, really good singles run. Still looking forward to him. He came on commentary. I actually got to sit in a match on commentary. And although, you know, I don't know what it was. I mean, I went on commentary for maybe, you know, two matches on Saturday night. The first match, I had a lot of fun. The second match, I think I was in the middle of like tweeting indie power rankings and stuff like that. So I was kind of, you know, I was at a loss for words. But man, just listening to Jared Jax on commentary, I mean, that guy, if you want to pull a CM Punk reference, he's good on the mic, he's good in commentary, he's good in the ring. And it's really hard to
asking about ice cream bars.
You might start asking about ice cream bars, because I'm pretty sure it's one of his favorite food groups is ice cream bars. But yeah, it's gonna be really hard to match the you know, amount of output this guy has been putting together. And it's really exciting to see what, you know, what else will come from him. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Joey Jett Avalon as a regular at Supreme Wrestling Entertainment, because yet again, my first time seeing him, but a great match put on by him and Jared Jax together. So that's my thoughts on Supreme Wrestling Entertainment's Collision Course. I mean, I know also Storm and JJ Ryan put on a phenomenal match together. That's, you know, SW never really disappoints, and I'm looking forward to the next show, Champion of the Night 4.
It's going to be a good one, that's for sure. And, you know, 4 years for Supreme Wrestling Entertainment as well. So that's another thing to be amazed by.
That is definitely a milestone to appreciate. Well, I don't know if you heard, but Seth Gambino, it sounded like, was trying to call in earlier. So he's anxious to get on the show. We're anxious to have him on. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Grapple Talk here on RAQ Radio.
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. What is going on, ladies and gents? We have our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment going on right now, and we got Seth Gambino on. How is it going today, sir?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in sunny Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It's easily like 60 degrees warmer than it was at this time last week, and I am loving it.
Yeah, it is definitely awesome to be walking around outside without the worries of frostbite. That much.
Yeah, I have a winter hat and winter coat with me for no reason, so I expected it to be cold still, but apparently I missed the mark on that one.
Yeah, earlier today, I mean, I was wearing like sweatshirt, jeans, all that nonsense, and then like, you know, right now I'm just rocking shorts because it is way too hot to be wearing any kind of jeans.
I hear you, dude. I hear you.
Looks like the winter apocalypse that was Wisconsin weather is finally gone, which is awesome. It's also awesome is that we got you on the line, and you know, Seth, for the people that are tuning in that maybe don't know who Seth Gambino is, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So Seth Gambino is a wrestler based out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, to the point where much of my shtick or gimmick is based on the fact that I'm from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I team with one of my lifelong best friends, Don Gotti. We live together. I've known him since. Oh, man, we met in middle school. I actually think we're related somehow, to be honest with you. I have distant cousins. And it's cool because most of the guys I broke in with have been my friends for 20-plus years. Nick Colucci, who you had on last week. Don Gotti, a guy who's kind of off doing some bigger and better things and maybe be going to a movie premiere tonight. Hornswoggle. So, yeah, it's cool to say, like, most of the guys I've trained with are still around and are, like, out killing it. Week in, week out.
Well, isn't it true what they say, though, that the family that tags together stays together?
I believe so. We've had our tiffs here and there, and we tried to settle it in the ring, but this always seems to be a better fit for us. We're a very good tag team. We enjoy what we do. We have a good time.
So you want to talk about how you kind of broke into the business with all these guys, and I actually am interested in just you as a wrestler by yourself. How exactly did you break into the business, and you know, why did you want to jump inside the Squared Circle?
We actually were still in high school, and we were wrestling in an extracurricular way. Can I say backyard? We were backyard.
Just do it.
And it's funny because I've heard this story told by a couple different people now. And a local promoter came to one of our backyard shows to, I guess, scout talent and found us and offered us a free training camp, like a tryout, and gave a list of guys and said, I want you to come check this out. And we trained, started training in Green Bay shortly thereafter, and we got to train with guys like Shane Hills, Rob Norwood, Adrian Serrano, Jay Cash. And the nice one was before Ken Anderson left for the WWE, he was a guy who helped a lot. Like, you know, he was around for training, and he was like, he'd use us as examples when we want to try out new stuff. And so it was cool to say, like, one of our trainers, you know, was supposed to be Vince McMahon's illegitimate son.
Yeah.
And I got into wrestling. Like, I remember being 6 years old and watching WrestleMania, and I saw Dusty Rhodes. And this is before I knew what work rate was or, like, what any in-ring presence meant, but he looked so cool, and it was, he just looked like he was having such a good time out there in polka dots and dancing with that large black lady and, you know, beating with the Macho King. And I'm like, I want to do this. And, you know, I did it with my brother, and then I did it with, like, my friends in the neighborhood, and we would mimic other wrestlers. And then finally I got a chance to do it professionally. And, like, there's no better feeling than every weekend where you get to go out there and have somebody walk up to you and say, hey, my kid really looks up to you, or, like, I really appreciate what you guys do, and it's awesome.
You know, you're talking about polka dotted singlets and gear and all that stuff, and I can't help but remember when we were looking for a good photo to put on the Grapple Talk Facebook page. Couldn't help but notice, but we saw you rocking a polka dotted singlet. What show was that for, and how was that show?
I think the first set of gear we ever got was a polka dot singlet, but every now and again, if I'm feeling vintage or I'm feeling retro, I'll pull it out of the closet and channel my inner Dusty Rhodes and then throw on the polka dots and throw nothing but bionic elbows. I can't remember the last time. I think I wore ICW the last time because I figured I could wear that and a Kesha shirt, where I actually got to wrestle Don Gotti, which was an experience in and of itself because we've tagged for so long. We literally, and, you know, this is breaking the fourth wall, I guess, we literally didn't have to talk much out because we know each other to the point where, like, we know what we're going to do before the other one's going to do it, so we can kind of see, like, oh, you'll do this at this point, and I'll feed for it, or I'll set myself up for this, and just kind of be there, and I know how he does things, and he knows how I do things, so it was a very, very easy match, and it was fun to wrestle a guy you've been on the same side of the ring with for so long.
Yeah, I find that actually really interesting that you've tagged with him for so long, but you said you haven't really wrestled against him very often, and I guess, do you think, like, you guys tagging with each other and just talking strategy, all the road trips, living with each other and stuff like that, helps when you guys actually faced off against each other inside the ring? Because I know you just said it was a really easy matchup, but, I mean, I find that really interesting just because of how tagging together translates to actually working against each other.
For sure. It's a very easy thing to do because you know each other so well, and you're just like, okay, you like to do this, we can fit this in. And hey, I think you should try this, and like, we'll do this tonight, and I think it'll go over really great. And it was fun because it's never really been done. It's always been like you guys have always been a team, and, you know, maybe here and there we've wrestled each other. And, like, we had a little bit of a thing in 2009 where we broke up, and, you know, that never really amounted to much because I think I took a little bit of a break shortly after that, and we feel like we missed the boat on that. But like, if given the option, I think tagging with him is so much more fun. He hits a little hard. So, I'd much rather be the guy who's not getting it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we want to look also besides outside the ring stuff, I mean, because we know that in independent wrestling, a lot of places that me and Alex, or sorry, AC, I'm breaking the fourth wall now too, but a lot of the places that me and AC have been, you know, feuds are really important. And it seems like, I guess, if you're tagging with a guy, you can make that a lot more personal, because I think chemistry goes a long way other than tagging with a person. It also goes with facing them, maybe getting on the mic against them and stuff like that. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I think the better you know somebody, or the closer you get to somebody, I think the more you're willing to deal with them, the more personal barriers you're willing to push, the more personal you can make it. You can make things look a little more vicious. You can make things a little more personal on the mic and say things that people might have a reaction to, or like, well, I can't believe he said that, or I can't believe he let them say it and punch him in the mouth. So it's nice because, like, in the end of the day, we're going to go home together, you know, we'll grab a beer and talk about it, and we're still going to be friends. The best feuds and the best tag teams are usually drawn out of people who have a really good, strong relationship together, and know each other very well to the point where they can just play off each other. Where, like, if one of us gets hurt, the other one's, like, really willing and able to step in right away and be like, okay, he's hurt and something went wrong. I have to pick up a little bit of the slack here to give him a break. And we're good at that. We like to try to ensure each other and make sure, like, you know, prolong our bodies as long as we can, I guess, you know, so...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do this for a little while longer and be smarter about it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you talk about tag team wrestling, and, you know, you're a guy that, you know, of course, you've done the tag team scene, you know, for quite some time, you know, one half of the Dream Police, for example. And then you're also a guy that's also been involved in a couple singles matches. You know, you're involved in singles matches every now and then and everything. And what are the differences that you've noticed between tagged wrestling and singles wrestling? And what's kind of the differences that you've noticed?
Tag wrestling is fun because there's four guys usually who all different styles, and they there's so many different things you can do. And it's very easy to keep a crowd engaged because if you're, you know, like getting beat up in the ring, there's somebody out there and he's a cheerleader. There's somebody who's out there telling the crowd to shut up and getting that crowd riled up while you're trying to get fired up and fight back as hard as you can. And in a singles match, I think a little bit of that luster of getting the crowd involved is lost because it's more so I'm going to hit this move or I'm going to concentrate on winning. As opposed to, hey, there's that guy in the crowd who won't shut up and won't get off my back that I should really be yelling at, and that's what I should focus on. I love wrestling for the sole fact that this is the only form of entertainment where you can be hands-on. Like, I'm not going to watch a movie, and I'm not going to have Brad Pitt yell at me. I'm not going to go to a concert and be able to, you know, chop somebody or anything like that. You know,
well, certainly hands-on for more reasons than one.
Yes, for sure. I've been on a few shows where I've seen members of the crowd swing on the wrestlers, and that's always an experience in and of itself.
So anyways, Seth, I'm kind of actually interested in your tag team. You guys are called the Dream Police. Now, where did that name come from, and why do you guys consider yourself the Dream Police?
We get this question all the time, and I wish there was a good story behind it, but there's really not. We needed a name, and... we used to tag under the name of La Cosa Nostra when it was me, Don Gotti, and Nick Colucci. We were big Sopranos fans. And in Italian, that translated to this thing of ours, so we took a lot from the mafia.
Uh-huh.
And me and Gotti, are pretty goofy guys. So we wanted something that was funny the first time you heard it, and like there's a lot more you heard it, the less sense it would make. And I remember we were sitting in his parents' basement on AIM Instant Messenger, talking Joey Avalon, because at the time it was going to be the three of us, and we needed to come up with a funny name, and the Dream Police was just on an episode of The Simpsons, where Apu sprayed Bart Simpson with the hose. That's the song he was listening to, and he was cleaning his Camaro, and it was a toss-up between that, or we were going to call ourselves the Carlton Riverbanks, which was an inside joke based on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yep. So I remember we took a poll from like our close friends, and the Dream Police went out, and we've kind of stuck with it ever since. And we get the question all the time: if you guys are the Dream Police, why don't you come out with the song Dream Police? And yeah, we did for a little while, and it got really cheesy, and now it's to the point where like it's more so just us. Like what you see out of the ring is what you're going to get in the ring. We're kind of stupid, we're goofy, we like to make people laugh. Like we do more comedy based wrestling than we do actual wrestling because not many people around here offer that, and we want to be different, and we kind of want to stand out. And, you know, with a name like the Dream Police, most people aren't going to take you seriously, but, like, if need to, we can. You know, we'll throw down with people, we'll fight, and we can be serious, but it's not really our niche, I guess.
Yeah, and that's something that I feel that is kind of lost sometimes in the Wisconsin scene, is that I remember when I was getting trained and I would go over to the Minnesota scene quite a bit during the time because a lot of the guys that I was working out with were going that way, like, you know, First Ave, Twin Cities, all that stuff. And I noticed that there's a lot of comedic tag team wrestlers that go over to the other side of, you know, over in Wisconsin. And you'll see it every now and then, but you don't see it as much as you do on one side or the other. And, I mean, that could just be kind of the brand of one side or brand of the other. I don't really know. I'm not an expert on that. But it is what it is. But, you know, talking about going back on track here, because I like to kind of fall off the track sometimes with that.
Yeah.
And I've been called on it many times, but you know, Seth, you've been around for quite some time, and you know, what's been that thing that holds you together? Because I mean, granted, a lot of guys, they could just quit if any time they wanted to. I mean, like, even guys like in the WWE, like, if they just don't deal it anymore, they just want to be done. So what keeps you around?
I think the biggest thing is you could have everything go wrong in real life, and for a couple hours on the weekend, if you get to be somebody else, like Seth Witkowski could have a ton of problems, you know, he could be behind on bills or anything, but those couple hours where I'm out selling t-shirts with Seth Gambino, or I'm standing in the ring at Seth Gambino, or after the show talking to people, and they walk up to you and they look up to you, and you know, they put you like almost a level above, where like they look at you like, kind of like you're a superstar, and I'm not saying I am by any stretch of the imagination. It's nice to, you know, kind of forget about real life for a while and, you know, almost be a completely different person and let other people forget about their problems too, because, you know, if you put on a good show and have people enjoy it, you know, they're going to remember something and they're going to forget about, you know, all the little worries in life for a little bit. And that's one of the coolest things that I think that's what draws me into it. And that's what makes me continue to want to do it.
I can agree with you 100% on that, is because, I mean, it's definitely a great stress reliever, a good outlet for a lot of emotion and everything. Because just like you said, I mean, you know, if I'm just having an absolute week from hell and everything like that, I mean, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bottle it up, because guess what? Wrestling road trip this Saturday, it's going to be a fun time.
Right. And I don't remember off the top of my head who told me it, but some of the greatest advice I've ever received is look at every match as something you can take out of it. Whether it's you're working somebody for the first time, or you're getting to try something new, or maybe you're tweaking your character, and like you say, you're going to be a bad guy, and you've never been able to be a bad guy. You're going to be a good guy, and that's a whole new can of worms. And if you try to find one thing that you're going to enjoy, that's going to be different, that you're looking forward to, like, you'll get through that week easier, and like when that weekend comes, man, you're stoked. Like, it's that and the fact, like, this wrestling thing, especially with Scott, it's such a brotherhood that, you know, everybody's really like chummy, and like there's times where it's kind of quicky, but like if there's ever a problem or like there's a fight at an after party, everybody in that locker room is going to have everybody's back, no matter what personal issues they have with each other, because like this is a fraternity in and of itself, that like we all do the same thing. We're all in this for the same goal. Like if the company makes money, everybody makes money, and like the shows get better and like entertain that crowd. So like it's awesome to feel that way. It's you know, there's times where I see these guys more than I see my own family.
Yeah.
And like it's a whole family dynamic itself, and it's awesome. It really is.
Yeah, that's really funny that you say that too, because, you know, me, I'm more of a guy that, you know, is maybe doing commentary or backstage reporting, but, you know, and if there's even something, like, I know that a couple years ago and stuff like that, there'd be wrestling shows where I'm not necessarily looking forward to the actual show, but I'm looking forward to seeing all the guys in the back. I'm looking forward to the road trip just because of the brotherhood that you just talked about, because when you get there and you talk with these guys, you know, you realize just how close-knit you are, because you see them, you know, once every 2 weeks or once every month or once every other week, and you become so close to these guys because you're doing something in the ring that's different than anybody else can really say that they do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like you have your little like clique through your road family.
Of course.
Like me and Gotti refer to each other as road wives, because we're on the road together all the time, and it's usually me and him, and then other people are here and there with us. But like that's a family dynamic, and like some of the best parts are the road trips.
Yep, you know? Exactly.
With the exception of being stuck in a car for a bunch of hours and it's uncomfortable, but. Like, that's when the fun stuff happens. That's when, like, everything is goofy and weird. And, like, that's some of the best conversation. Or, like, let's say, like, we went to the SWE Rise Above Cancer show, and we listened to nothing but doo-wop the whole way there. And I remember Joey Avalon just being like, why are we listening to this? And me and Nathan Guth were loving every minute of it. We're like, we're old souls. So, you know, music from the 50s to us is great. And he's just like, I don't get you guys. I don't get this old music. And then it was gangster rap on the way back, and just surprise each other with how much of what we actually know. That's what we're all inner thugs at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Of course, doo-wop, you know, old school stuff, like Nathan Guth, that was like the stuff he was listening to back when he was like a teen.
Yeah.
That dude,
you know, he is 137 after all.
Exactly. And, you know, and the road trips are definitely one thing that, like you said, definitely make the show worthwhile, because I mean, Nick and I, we've gone to some terrible shows.
That's not a lie.
That is not a lie. But at the same time, is that, you know, you get Jesse, Nick, and myself, and then we can be like, get in the car and just vent and be like, wow, that was a terrible show.
But then we can get in the car and be like, wow, that was a fantastic show. We can go both ways. We can just talk crap about how bad your match was, AC Riley, all night.
That's usually what the conversation is anyway.
I there's times where I get really down on myself, and I'm sure it makes the ride home awful, where I'm just like, I'm grumpy, and I don't want to deal with people. But there's times where, like, it's like you have a great match, or like there's something good that happens at that show, and you're on cloud nine, and like everybody's so excited on that way home. And, you know, or like lately, everybody I travel with just falls asleep right away. And
yep.
I'm the only person awake, you know, doing every trick in the book to try to stay awake so I don't like drive off a bridge or anything.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how Jesse is. But, you know, Seth, we're running out of time here. This has been actually a really interesting Spotlight Squared Circle, because we're kind of actually, we're talking a lot more about, you know, we're just actually like sitting here chit-chatting. And
time
actually,
flies,
yeah,
when you're
definitely
fun.
But, you know, one thing we like to ask everybody that comes on here, since this is an independent wrestling radio show that we like to host, if you could try to sell independent wrestling to maybe somebody that hasn't gone to an independent wrestling show, maybe is a fan of pro wrestling, WWE, TNA, stuff like that, what would you tell them to sell them to go to that independent wrestling show?
If they're already a wrestling fan, independent wrestling is by far the way to go. I've never seen a group of people work harder to entertain someone. I've never seen a form of entertainment that's so hands-on, that's so in your face, where you're literally, you can see spit flying out of people's mouths, and you can hear, you know, shots connecting, and just being that up close and personal is such a great atmosphere. And like that old school mentality in a smoky armory on a Friday night with the lights off, and, you know, just seeing people, you know, bust their butts to try to put on a good show for everyone. You know, TV pro wrestling is cool and all, but they're guaranteed money. Here, like, you're scraping, and all these guys want is a look. It's one shot, and they're going to work as hard as they possibly can to get it. And I think independent wrestling, especially in Wisconsin lately, is has such a flux of talent, and it's on such an upswing everywhere you go. It's there's a lot of guys to watch out for, and I'm really excited for what's going to happen in the next couple of years.
You know, Seth, that was very well put, and I think we couldn't have said it any better. Great way to wrap things up. So, Seth, on behalf of Nick, thank you for taking the time to come sit down and chat with us in the Spotlight and Square Circle.
My pleasure, guys.
Seth Gambino on Grapple Talk RAQ Radio. We'll be right back with the wrestler's perspective and just a little short wrap-up, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio with Nick Ragner and AC Riley. Be sure to tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 and every Friday from 6 to 7. You can also listen to every episode on iTunes. Just search Grapple Talk.
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. What's going on, ladies and gents? We are back. We are ready to go, I think. We got Wrestler's Perspective for this week. We just got done talking to Seth Gambino. We'll make it nice and short for you so we can get to those upcoming shows this week. But here is Wrestler's Perspective for this week, AC Riley. Got to ask you, man. Should I ask you last week? Kind of forgot about it because...
Oops!
So you got staples in your head. You got six staples in your head. So what was it like coming back and wrestling this past weekend after the previous weekend you went to the emergency room?
I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Were you nervous at all? Because it wasn't planned that you went to there. It wasn't like it wasn't work. It was
a little nerve-wracking coming back, especially the week after. It wasn't like, oh, you're in the ER and you'll be back in a month. No, like it was literally like 7 days later I was coming back in to wrestle. And it like, I mean, granted, a forehead would be even worse, but matter of fact, it was like on the top of my head and everything.
You couldn't guard it as well.
Like, yeah, it was unguarded because like when I wear my hat, it's one thing, but like I can't wear my hat when I'm wrestling because that is not going to stay on all the time. It's not like Mojo Jojo where it's like...
You just made a Powerpuff Girl reference?
I totally just made a Powerpuff Girl.
Oh my God, we're not posting this anywhere.
Oh, we're totally posting this. Oh
man.
Anyways, but no, it's like basically the staples were exposed and everything like that. And considering that my spear leaves me spiking my head in the ground,
it did.
I mean, basically that was the worrying part as well. It's like, are my staples going to rupture? Am I going to start bleeding out? Am I going to start, you know, showering people with blood and stuff like that?
Okay, well, before we start discussing people, we're going to end it there, but we're going to leave it at that. You you were kind of nervous. Okay,
I was nervous.
Okay, you were kind of nervous. That's Wrestler's Perspective for this week. We got to move along, get these shows in, because we are going to get kicked out of the room here in just a short moment. So for this upcoming weekend, I will start off. We got BCW on Friday, March the 14th. It's their March Madness show. It's going to be at the Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street in West Dallas, Wisconsin. Bell time's at 7:30. Doors open at 6:45. Tickets are only $15, and fans can buy their tickets in advance at the BCW website. That's www.brewcitywrestling1.com for only $10. And yeah, that's this Friday at West Dallas. Check it out.
Also, on Friday over in the Minnesota side, a show that we'll be recapping next week. First Wrestling's Wrestlepalooza 3. That's again on Friday, March 14th. It's brought to you by PBR. First Ave and 7th Street entry. Minneapolis, Minnesota is where it's going to be at. And you got to stop swearing because we're on a radio show. Tickets are $18 in advance, $20 at the door. You can grab your tickets at tinyurl.com/WrestlePalooza-3.
We need to get out of here.
Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. 18 plus show. Pro wrestling, world class burlesque, and
stop reading. Then we also have WPW's March Massacre, Saturday, March 15th. That's at Baba Louie's, 419 Main Avenue, De Pere, Wisconsin, 54115. For those of you that use Google Maps, that's WPW's March Massacre, Baba Louie's, De Pere, Wisconsin. Check it out. This is Nick Ragnar for AC Riley. We got to get out of here. We'll leave you guys with a quote. That says, if you fall off your horse, get back on that horse and listen to Grapple Talk. Stay tuned, guys. This has been Grapple Talk and RAQ. What are you going to say? You're just going to
I was just going to say well said.
Well said. Awesome. Cool. We'll see you guys next week.
Coming up next week on Grapple Talk, Nick and AC recap First Wrestling's Wrestlepalooza 3 and sit down with porn stash Peter Schwanz. Be sure to catch it live on Monday at 4 p.m. only on RAQ Radio.
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.